Brent Daugherty, Mickey Ryan, and Don Davenport. This is the 3HL, powered by the Tennessee Lottery on 104.5 The Zone.
Welcome in 3HL, powered by the Tennessee Lottery, as we continue day two of the NFL's free agent frenzy. We start the 3 o'clock hour with Sam Monson from Pro Football Focus, who will join us. Sam, there's breaking news everywhere, literally, as you start this conversation with us. Thank you for the time. Philip Rivers, a one-year deal with the Colts just happened. And right before that, the Titans and Vic Beasley, a one-year deal just happened.
Yeah, absolutely. They're at free agency, still not officially open yet, but the news is obviously coming thick and fast.
So let's get into the Titans. Obviously needed edge rush help. Are you surprised that Vic Beasley is the way they turn? And when you look at his history, of course, he's got that 1 year, his second year in the league, where he had 15 and a half sacks, but after that, 5 and 5 and 8. How does Pro Football Focus feel about Vic Beasley?
I mean, Vic Beasley has really been a disappointment in the NFL, and we were saying this while he had that spectacular season. He led the NFL in sacks, but his PFF grade that year was not that great because a huge amount of those sacks were made up of those cleanup or pursuit or unblocked type of plays, the ones that don't repeat, the ones that are not kind of very predictive but sometimes string together in a sequence in such a way that a guy ends up with a disproportionate number of sacks compared to the kind of pressure he gets. So that was by far his best pass rushing grade of his career, but it wasn't as spectacular as it may have looked if you're just going by the sack numbers. And then obviously every season since has been a massive letdown compared to that. So, you know, Vic Beasley is athletic. He's fast. He's, gifted in that regard, but he's never really put it together at the NFL level. And you would really be looking at this, and if you think he's going to do anything for the Titans, you're relying 100% on the ability of, you know, Mike Vrabel and the coaches there to get something out of him that we haven't really seen before.
So what's your take on a year, $9.5 million deal for him then? It's obviously a prove-it deal.
Right, exactly. It's a prove-it deal. It's a little bit rich given what we've seen from him, but it's the kind of gamble deal that you would make for a guy that's that athletically talented and you think you might be able to get that kind of return from. So it's not the worst deal in the world, but neither would you necessarily expect it to bear incredible amounts of fruit.
Sam Monson at PFF underscore Sam from Pro Football Focus. So Titans fans, midday on Sunday, the question was, would Ryan Tannehill get the tag? Would Derrick Henry get the tag? Would they both get long-term deals? Would neither? How would it work? And the first domino for the Titans, Ryan Tannehill, set to get a long-term deal. Really, Sam, seems like a certain three-year deal would be too expensive to terminate before that on any level. What do you think about what the Titans worked out with their new starting quarterback?
Yeah, you're right. It does look like a certain three-year deal, which is interesting because it's not the way everybody read it when it first came out. You know, the idea is that third year becomes guaranteed 5 days into the league year. Everybody assumed that was the same league year, but actually it was the year before that. So they basically have to decide after one season of him starting if he's going to be around for those full three seasons. And if not, the 1 year becomes a massively expensive deal. So he's basically there for three seasons, barring an absolute unmitigated disaster in 2020. And, you know, I think it's an interesting contract because he played so spectacularly well last season, but I just don't really see why you wouldn't just franchise him and, see how hard the regression is in 2020. Because I think almost everybody agrees there's got to be some kind of come back down to earth for Tannehill. We started to see the beginnings of that in the playoffs, but he was just so unsustainably and spectacularly good in 2020 that he's going to get some way worse next year. The only question is how far, because, you know, there's a massive spectrum in his play now between a sort of PFF grade above 90 in the truly elite range with the best quarterbacks in the NFL last season to the year before that. He was down in the 40s. He was as bad as anybody in football, and he had to kind of come in for a throwaway backup deal just to keep a job in the NFL. And then obviously we've seen play somewhere in the middle as well. So I don't really know what Ryan Tannehill will be in 2020 and beyond. And that risk alone is why I think he was made for the franchise tag.
Breaking news left and right here. It looks like ESPN's Todd Archer reporting that Jason Witten signs a one-year, $4.75 million deal with the Raiders after 16 seasons with the Cowboys. When you look at kind of the analytics and numbers from Jason Witten, what are your thoughts on another year for him?
I mean, if you want to get Jason Witten in the building so badly, I would be trying to convince him to take a job as an assistant coach rather than spending a roster spot and actual, you know, salary cap dollars on him, because, you know, Jason Witten at this point is only capable of getting you what is open by default in a defense. He's not going to beat anybody in coverage, whether it's man-to-man or you know, even do anything special in zones. He is basically just a guy who's going to be in the right place at the right time. And if it's open, there's going to be a space to get him the ball. But that's pretty – I don't see why you go hard to acquire somebody like that.
Sam Monson for Pro Football Focus, our guest. So, Derrick Henry, you mentioned Ryan Tannehill getting franchised. Don Davenport and myself, we're doing this show with you right now. I think both of us felt like that might have been the best route. That's not the route that the Titans go. They do franchise Derrick Henry, though. So some are saying you should have just let him go and drafted. Others are saying, why in the world did you not pay that man, who seems to be unique in a world of running backs in the NFL? Sam, I'm on the line of pay that man, but looks like just 1 year right now on the franchise tag.
Yeah, and I'm kind of on the other end of the spectrum in terms of, I think given the choice, you should never pay a running back a big second contract, a big money second contract. I think all the data that's coming out at the moment just says that those guys are a product of their environment more than they are the reason that they have the rushing success that they have. And even if you just look at the recent history of, you know, well, this running back's different, this guy's special, we've seen it all along. It's guys like Todd Gurley, it's David Johnson, it's Le'Veon Bell. It's this endless sequence of guys that we convinced ourselves were different. Now, obviously, Derrick Henry has got some obvious physical differences in that he's like 6'3", 250. So he is rare when it comes to running backs. But even just look last season, before Ryan Tannehill came in the lineup, Derrick Henry was 11th in the NFL in rushing yardage, averaging 3.7 yards per carry. Now Tannehill comes in, transforms the passing offense, changes the entire dynamic of how everything was functioning, and the offensive line got better and helped him, you know, pave the way for actual success on the ground. And that's where Derrick Henry turned into this unstoppable league-leading juggernaut. So the bottom line is, if those things don't repeat in 2020, Derrick Henry is not going to repeat in 2020 and be the same player he was. So I think in isolation, I don't hate a one-year, you know, the franchise tag for running backs is not a massive amount of money, and I don't hate gambling that you can have those stars align again. But I think it's the fact that it kind of costs you being able to use that on Ryan Tannehill that concerns me.
Could you have seen a scenario where maybe they do a three-year deal with Derrick Henry and they franchise Ryan Tannehill?
I mean, so the first thing I would have been doing would be franchise tag Ryan Tannehill and, like, let's see what he does in 2020 and then deal with that problem down the line. And then you basically just have to ask yourself, how confident are you that the scenario will be the same with Derrick Henry, and how expensive do you want to get on that contract? But again, because all the information says that running backs, almost all running backs that hit the NFL are very talented ball carriers. And the difference between them is the blocking. It's how good the offensive line is in front of them. It's how good the passing game is, because passing game is what dictates box count. Passing game determines how many guys are lining up to stop the run, which in and of itself explains a huge proportion of rushing success on the play. So if you can dictate how many guys are in the box by how good your passing game is, the running back is going to have success. So the bottom line is, if you think your environment is good enough for a running game to be successful, you can get a cheaper running back and plug him in and have him do more or less the same job.
I'll say, man, sitting through every Derrick Henry game, especially all the home games, it's hard to imagine someone essentially doing what that man can do. He's so unique. But you mentioned the people in front of him. Jack Conklin goes to Cleveland. Dennis Kelly, who's been a utility guy, will move to that right tackle spot. Do you guys at Pro Football Focus feel like the Titans can keep things going with the offensive line with Dennis Kelly moving into a full-time job?
Yeah, I think it will be a drop-off. I don't think it will be too steep because Dennis Kelly has been a very serviceable player in the past for them. Even this past season when he had to start a little bit for Taylor Lewan, he did a good job. I think he might actually even be every bit as good of a pass blocker as Jack Conklin is, but it's a run game where you're going to feel that difference because Conklin was one of the better run-blocking right tackles in the NFL, is one of the better run-blocking right tackles in the NFL. And Dennis Kelly hasn't been as good in that area as Conklin has been. So I think if that's where you're going to feel an impact, that's where it'll be. And that's the kind of thing that does impact Derrick Henry or whoever's ability to get that rushing yardage.
Before we let you go, again, Sam Monson, Pro Football Focus, what do you think the best fit is for Tom Brady? Fox Sports is saying he will go to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Jeff Darlington has said pump the brakes on that, at least for now. What do you guys think the best fit is for Brady ultimately?
I thought the best fit for him was the Colts before Philip Rivers did the one-year deal there. I think all the other fits have got some problems. You know, I don't like the schematic matchup of Tom Brady and Bruce Arians in Tampa Bay. I just don't think that's a natural combination. Yeah. I think the Chargers make a lot of sense, but they have no kind of offensive line in front of them and haven't been able to put one in front of Philip Rivers for the better part of 15 years. It looks like Adam Schefter is reporting that they've signed Brian Bulaga at right tackle, so that's going some way to fixing that, but they still have a lot of work to do there. And then, you know, the Chicago Bears make a lot of sense as well, but I don't know if they have the cap space to make that kind of move happen. So I think all of these other potential destinations for Brady have some kind of question mark attached to them.
Before we go, last one, Logan Ryan. I haven't seen that he signed anywhere yet. Actually, this morning I was putting together some numbers. It looked like only five cornerbacks had signed free agent or had announced deals. No one signed anything yet. What do you think about Logan Ryan at this point in his career, and what do you think is next for him?
Yeah, it's an interesting cornerback marketplace because there's, you know, Byron Jones, I think, was the only real sure thing. Chris Harris would be the next one, but he's getting up there in age. And all of the other guys have got sort of major question marks of some kind or other. I think Logan Ryan is still a good player. You know, we saw last season he was kind of a do-it-all player for the Titans. He could rush the passer a little bit. He had a ton of pass breakups. He obviously had the interceptions as well. But he'll give up some plays here and there. He's not the tightest man coverage kind of player in the world, given his size and his speed. But I think there's still a spot in a secondary for Logan Ryan where he can come in and improve a team that's in need of secondary help.
Sam, we know you're busy. Lots going on, man. Thank you for the time today. And we're all big fans of Pro Football Focus. I think all of us football junkies are. At PFF underscore Sam is where you can find him on Twitter. Thank you again, buddy.
Anytime, guys. Take it easy.
Sam Monson of Pro Football Focus. Oh, we're about 15 minutes away from Jim Wyatt. Lots going on with the Tennessee Titans, including an edge rusher has announced. If you're just joining us, we'll tell you who signed.
Boy, well, Sam didn't sell me on Vic, huh?
No, he did not. And maybe that's the name of the new Titans edge rusher. We'll tell you all about it when we come back. 3HL powered by the Tennessee Lottery. Fancy.